Hey, River Region, Dave Ramsey here. The thing about Christmas is it's the same time every year. This means you have absolutely no excuse not to plan ahead and budget for gifts. I recommend you visit my friends at Southern Homes and Gardens, Alabama's premier Christmas store. Southern Homes and Gardens is locally owned and operated for over 38 years, and they carry a huge variety of long-lasting, lifelike Christmas trees, always 50% off. You can also get gorgeous poinsettias and holiday greenhouse favorites for your gift buying. They have a wide selection of budget-friendly pre-wrapped gifts, plus an endless selection of store-wide gift specials, up to 50% off and on-site personalization. Choose from exquisite decor and hundreds of ornaments. So visit Southern Homes and Gardens today. Call 334-387-0440. Or visit southernhomesandgardens.com. Tell them Dave sent you.
Gift to Kohl's Home Sale, going on now. And layer on the savings for your home. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100. Or an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Plus, take an extra $10 off your $50 or more home purchase. You'll get Kohl's cash, too. Right now at Kohl's Home Sale. Offers valid October 11th through 21st. 15% or 20% off with promo code LEAF. Extra $10 off with promo code HOME10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
I used to post to job boards only to be overwhelmed with resumes,
which made it easy to miss a great candidate.
That old process was not smart.
Then I went to ZipRecruiter.
Its technology finds the right people
and actively invites them to apply,
so I get qualified candidates fast. Smart.
See why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with over 1,000 reviews.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Right now offering top pay of 45.5 cents per mile and quarterly and annual safe driving bonuses. Apply today at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. What an unbelievable change in our weather. And this is the kind of weather we've been hoping for about 6 months. For tonight, mostly clear, much cooler air is flowing into the state. Low temperature in the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, beautiful sunshine, low humidity, high temperature in the upper 70s, low at night in the 50s again on Friday night. Saturday's high around 79 with beautiful sunshine. We'll be in the low 80s Sunday. Just a great fall weekend ahead. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Heirloom Jewelers, specializing in antique and estate jewelry, diamonds, high-end watches, and more. Buy, sell, and trade with Heirloom Jewelers on Vaughn Road. And find Heirloom Jewelers on Facebook.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm quite surprised that a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
Joey Clark.
Let's stop worrying about the future. All we really have is today. We just have today over and over and over again. The eternal returns, the hero's journey, and Trump is on his hero's journey. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Kanye West earlier today. His elbows leaning in on the Resolute desk of the Oval Office talking to President Trump. You know, there are some days where I really enjoy covering the news. Most days I don't, but some days I really enjoy what I do, especially when I have great guests. We're coming into the music of Lou Perez, but not the same Lou Perez we have on the phone. No, on the phone we have Lou Perez, the head writer of We the Internet. He's also the bearded half of the comedy duo Greg and Lou. So without further ado, Lou, how you doing this evening?
Good. Thank you so much for that intro. I'm not familiar with Lou Perez, the musician. So that was cool. Felt like I was in touch with someone, like, you know, maybe me in a different dimension or something like that. parallel universe with a musician.
Yeah, I didn't know of him until today. I honestly just, you know, I know of your work, obviously, and got to meet you at that conference in Atlanta, and, you know, We the Internet is when I first discovered you, but I was like, let's Google his name. Why not? And Lou Perez, the composer, came up. I like his music. It's kind of funky. Puts me in a good mood.
Look at that. I know there's another Lou Perez who I think is a... like a professional wrestler.
Yes.
Yeah, so that would often come up, like, on the, you know, if I Google myself, and it'd be a constant reminder that I'm not a wrestler.
Right. I wish I was. I've been on that kick lately. But, yeah, Lou Perez was a star in the NWA and WCW during the 80s. So.
Oh, in the 80s? Wow.
80s and 90s. So, I mean, that was a... high watermark for wrestling, but that was WWF. That was Hulkamania, brother. That wasn't really. Anyway, you know, last time I Googled my name, I think what came up was an MMA fighter, Joey the Sandman Clark.
Like, Joey the Sandman Clark. Look at that.
The Sandman.
That's a great nickname.
That's pretty good. And then when I Googled my best friend's name, Troy, and I'm not going to give out his last name, it was a gay porn star. It's like, oh, that's...
I believe that. I think most male names could probably be like a gay porn star. There's definitely like, there's got to be a Lou Perez, you know, gay porn star Lou Perez. So I just hope he's good at it, you know?
Right.
That, you know, if somebody Googles my name and the first thing they come across is a gay porn star, I want him to be awesome. You know, so right. At least, you know, they might be surprised or taken aback, but at least, you know, the guy they're confused before is good in his trade.
Exactly. I mean, I hope if anybody takes the name Joey Clark and starts to do gay porn, that your point is well taken. I want it to be impressive. Even if you're not into gay porn, you're like, wow, I might watch right. this a little longer.
Yeah, like it's right. a lot of, you know, you just like respect the person. You respect the person and the art, you know, like there's. Like, I don't understand jazz.
Right.
You know, you have to be, like they say, there's a level where you can appreciate jazz, but then there's a level, like, of understanding that's just, you know, sort of, you know, out there. And I'm not there. But, hey, so-and-so is a fantastic, you know, jazz pianist. That's awesome. I respect that.
Right,
same thing, I guess, with whether the person's a, you know, top or a bottom. Hope they're good at it.
Yeah, they're really making some shapes there. Yeah. Whether on the keyboard or in the bedroom. So Lou, you're a libertarian in New York City and you're a comedian.
Yeah.
I don't usually put all sure. those together, but I like it. I mean, I'm in all seriousness, where does your political persuasion come from? Where did that start?
I wonder where it did start. I think I've always had a little bit of a anti-authority streak. Going, you know, running through me, coursing through my veins. When I was a kid, I always had a problem with like mall security, you know, like fake, you know, these fake, I don't know what would be the worst thing, you know, these fascists, these fake fascists. So, I mean, you know, I had like a little, you know, little issue there. I think, sort of my development has been, you know, very, very heavily centered on, you know, the individual and how important it is to judge people as individuals. And I think from a first principles standpoint, as I understand them, the idea of the non-aggression principle, I think, is a pretty great rule to live by. You know,
right.
don't initiate force and try to make sure that, you know, all the, every experience that you have or every relationship you have is one of voluntary exchange. And,
yes.
You know, how wonderful is that? And I understand that, you know, that could be a little bit, Pollyannic and, you know, I'm wearing what they call rose colored glasses and all that. But, I don't know, as I've gotten older, I've just been more, more attracted to, you know, to that idea, and, you know, I try to live my life that way.
And likewise, but I find that as I even presented in a very nice way, like I'm not saying you have to read Rothbard and Mises and read Economics in One Lesson, and You just present it in an everyday way. Like, you don't hit me, I don't hit you, I don't take your stuff, you don't take my stuff. If we want to do things together, we can. If we don't, all right. And you present that to people, and they're like, yeah, cool. And then as you get into actual political discussions, that principle we agreed to at first, and most people will agree to in everyday life, sort of goes out the window. Now, my experience has been one of, I'm always around conservative Republicans. I'd imagine it's a little different being in New York City, but we probably have the same experience of like, I'm not like left wing. Well, I kind of am culturally, but I'm not. I'm not a Democrat. Do you often find that people hear you and assume you're a Republican in New York City?
No, I don't think people assume that I'm a Republican. I think being a libertarian, like we are, especially in a place like New York, for one, in real life, we are weirdos, so that's true. So we are that. And I think it's a lot easier to kind of be like, Lou, he has some dopey ideas. But that's Lou,
Right.
At least, I like to think that I have enough relationships that have been built upon, things that are, outside of politics, built upon, being a good person to hang out with, or someone you can trust, or, kindness and all that, that I would hope that, barring, some earth shattering, reveal or something that my friendships can withstand that, can withstand like a political disagreement. So, that's kind of where I am. I've had a pretty, I'm sure other people, have like war stories that they can tell, but, for the most part, I've found that as I've been, more outspoken and, more true to who I am and what I believe and being willing to talk about my opinions and have discussions and all that, that the better off I've been and the happier I've been. So I can't imagine going back to a place where like, oh, I don't know if I should really say how I feel about this thing, right. So, and I think, and there's something to that I think is attractive, to others, where it's like, oh, well, I appreciate that so-and-so's, being honest and whatnot.
Well, absolutely. Because, you went right where, and it's part of what I love about the comedy videos y'all put up on We the Internet. But I took the time and listened to y'all's latest live stream, your first live stream on We the Internet, and I encourage folks.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you for doing that.
It's great, man. I listen to podcasts all the time when I'm not at work, mostly wrestling podcasts, so I need to stop doing. I get obsessed with things. And listen to the live stream, and as I was listening to your chat, and especially your perspective in particular, I don't know if we've gone through the same exact journey, obviously not, but I, about 2 years ago, started to realize the personal isn't the political, the personal eclipses. It's more important than political stuff. So instead of leading off a conversation all the time with politics or libertarian theory, I'd now go, yeah, I like wrestling. I'm a big fan of Prince. We can talk about that. I like to and BS with people about what, if we want to talk utter nonsense for the, rest of the hour, we can't. Like, I've put politics on the back burner, especially with this show. And when I went to FeeCon a couple months ago, it was honestly my first libertarian big conference. It was the first time I'd really talked to, like, true, everybody's identifying as libertarian in a year or two. And I realized how much I had changed, especially when I met a younger guy who, 2 minutes into meeting me, he goes, so have you read Murray Rothbard's Four New Liberty? And I saw my younger self, Lou. And I was like, yeah, I've read it. Do you want to talk about something else since we both know this? And I don't know, I've heard you talk a little bit about the comedy scene and your worry, especially, how is it different playing to a libertarian crowd in your case?
How's it different? I think, I think in many ways it's the same, because when you're doing comedy, at least from my standpoint, you want to make sure that you're funny, that you're, you know, that you're crafting a joke, that you're giving a an interesting perspective, you know, that you're able to, you know, find a punchline that people don't see coming, you know, necessarily. You know, to your point about, you know, the kid kind of cornering you and wanting to talk about that, you know, on Liberty with you. There's something about, you know, conversations with libertarians that, ironically, they don't feel voluntary. you're being shoved into the corner at a, you know, metaphorical gunpoint to, you know, talk about, you know, talk about this stuff. So I think I can understand if you're at a convention, especially with younger kids who are all coming together, because, you know what, I don't know where they're coming from. So they might actually be coming from a, you know, a place where they don't get to have these conversations in person. You know, maybe it's sort of that they can do it in like chat rooms and all that. And this is the first time they have like flesh and blood, you know, people who actually believe what they, you know, believe what they believe. And that's an exciting point for them. Something about performing for libertarians. And I was never, when I did stand-up comedy, I never really did political stuff before. But as I started doing more stuff with We the Internet, I started doing kind of political bits in my stand-up. And a lot of the stuff is me talking about, you know, libertarian and, hey, and, you know, making fun of libertarians. I like poking fun at myself and, you know, my people, if you will.
Yes.
I have a lot of fun with that. I don't take myself so seriously that, that I, you know, put up sacred cows, you know? And, a while back, I think it was last year, Cato Unbound had an issue, dedicated to comedy. So, Jeremy McClellan was one of the people who wrote essays for it, as did Nick Gillespie from Reason and Michael Munger from I think Michael Munger. I don't know if he's with Cato or something like that, and me. So I was the other guy, and I wrote about my fear of basically my nightmare is I go up in front of an audience and I do my set and nobody's laughing but everybody's clapping. You know, and that's a fear that I have because I don't want to go out there and just get applause. Like I agree with you, or I don't know what they call it, clap pause or something, or some word like that. I want to make sure that I'm making people laugh, you know, and that they're responding to me because I'm hitting, you know, hitting the funny bone, as opposed to like, hey, that guy on stage agrees with me.
Right.
But it is a balance because I think in speaking with Jeremy about it, and I think he wrote about it too, there has to be, you know, some point of commonality with your audience where, you know, where they are with you, and then you know, they're willing to, you know, go along for the ride. So finding that balance is you know, is a challenge sometimes if what you're doing is, you know, political stuff and you run the risk of, you know, playing to the room as opposed to, you know, going for the fun or what you think, whatever your goal is, you know.
Absolutely. And I actually, I found that piece in Cato Unbound and it's great. I worry that there's all these conversations going on too, like, and you brought it up in your piece. What is the role of comedy under Trump? I really liked your response. like something like, "What the f was it under Obama then?"
Right, right.
It seems to me, well, what's the role of comedy? Well, it's to make people laugh. I don't know. Like sometimes politics over, you know, makes it a little too complicated. And there's nothing wrong with being a political comedian. Some of my favorite comedians are political comedians like Lewis Black, though everybody has an off day. And it's the comedy itself is really started to fascinate me, like the process. Like I've always enjoyed it, like a good stand-up or sketch comedy, improv. But I've started to, as I've done more radio, think about how is the process, what is it like for the people? And you don't just sit there and go, make me laugh, funny man. It's like, oh no, that's... it's a real person with all these anxieties, and that's going to be one of the toughest jobs in the world. And to that point, I remember thinking, you know, Lewis Black's one of the funniest guys ever. And he came here to Montgomery, to our theater, and he just sat up there and read the newspaper and yelled and screamed. He didn't really have any jokes constructed. I'm like, well...
Did he really read the newspaper?
Yeah, he really had the newspaper. I think it was right after Trump gets the nomination. So he was just confounded, which it was entertaining to see Lewis Black aggravated, no doubt.
Which is kind of his thing, yeah.
But, you know, you could tell he was still working on his hour. Now, I'm interested in the process that you go through with We the Internet. I think you've talked about how it's low-hanging fruit out there if you just search on social media. But what was kind of the general idea when We the Internet first started up, that what your approach would be?
I didn't start a We the Internet, so I came on as a freelancer, actually. And so I produced, I think it was 5 videos to start with. And, you know, those 5 videos are, you know, available on YouTube and Facebook. People can find them. And I think the basic idea was to make a political comedy channel that takes on all sides, that is, sort of follows the equal opportunity offender credo, as you would see with, for example, like South Park does a really great job with it. And I've really enjoyed that that aspect of it. And the thing that I find is with our stuff, it's sort of like depending on which video of ours someone sees first, from that one video they'll make all these assumptions about where we fall and all these other issues. There's like a whole lineup of, like, if someone calls us like, you guys just, stupid conservatives, it's like, okay, in my head I'm like, okay, that person probably saw this video and this video and this video. And then immediately I start thinking of, well, people who think that we're liberals, they probably saw this video and this video. So it's fun to confuse people in that way, where it's like, oh man, I can't believe you guys are making fun of both sides, or I can't believe the same, people who came out with burglars for gun control came out with this other one making fun of people who open carry,
Right. Well, in this, so you hop into We the Internet, and I love it because I've shared a lot of y'all's videos, and I see that what you're talking about with the reaction from people who follow me in my audience here on the radio, that there are certain ones that really play, and then there are other ones where they look at it and go, wait, where is this coming from? And it's right. It's weird to me that even, like, it's one thing to put out, like, a stand-up bit or a comedy internet kind of video sketch. It's another thing when it's just a funny moment, like a stupid, silly human moment. Like the other day, Trump's walking up Air Force One, there's toilet paper or something on his foot. It's funny. And I share it, and a few people react. Like, some are like, oh, that dumbass, he's ruining the country. Others are saying, oh, there goes the media pointing out the unimportant things. I'm like, hey, shut up. It's just funny. And it's interesting how comedy becomes a bit of a Rorschach test in this day and age.
Oh, yeah. What I find really interesting, too, is, it seems like so many people bring to what you've created, they bring to it their own ideology, and they project onto it often what's already in their head, so they start seeing things that you're like, I didn't mean that. I don't know what you're talking about. So that, that could make for annoying discussions, where people, don't take what you actually made, and what they're responding to are these sort of, delusions or these inventions about, wondering where you're coming from. Like, hey, when we make fun of Trump, it's like, oh, why? Because you guys are like Hillary supporters. Is that why? And it's like, no, because we thought this was a funny idea, and we looked around and no one else did this idea. So we're like, oh, cool, let's make it and see what happens. There aren't, these evil, sort of scheming hey, we're going to test them, or, you know, we're part of the resistance, or any other thing. Like, we just want to make, funny stuff that entertains and we hope gets people talking. And, you know, hopefully we could use comedy as a way to break down so many of the walls that have been built up around people that they're not willing to talk to each other, anymore. And it's, you know, the divisiveness of politics is a real thing. And unfortunately, you know, I look around and see friends of mine that it's just like, man, it's overtaking their lives.
Well, I shared the video about whataboutism, the whatabout guy.
Oh, thanks, man.
And I had a few, it reminded me of several people in my life, and I love them dearly, but... yeah, and I like that it's you defend somebody because they're your guy. I mean, then that's where I listen to a lot of people and where they come from. And I've sort of checked myself again, where I've even got tired of, like, libertarian back and forth on social media. It's just, it's too much. And I want to get back to that in a second. Essentially what I'm saying is I want to make fun of libertarians here in a second. But I want the one main reason I invited you on tonight, Lou Perez. It's not to tell people that they should go subscribe to We the Internet on YouTube or Greg and Lou on YouTube within, you know, like the new Venom movie and that video you just made. Great stuff. That's not why I brought you on. There's some video you made about 2 months ago. And, okay. And you. It was in my dreams. And it's not a normal, it was a nightmare. Like, what the hell was the sheeple thing, man?
Oh yeah, do you want to tell your audience? Could you describe what you saw in the sheeple video,
folks? It was it was a guy in whiteface, number one, with it looked like a painted on. It looked like a half man, half sheep. And then I saw outside of the video, I saw some post where it was just the man's head was a sheep, and then he looked like a regular man. I'll let you describe the video, actually, because it freaked me out too much, man. You had hooves, everything, cloven hooves.
Yeah, I was playing with the idea of when you're online, and, you know, often you'll hear that either the word sheep being thrown around or people talking about the quote unquote sheeple, those who, you know, blindly follow whatever, you know, the mainstream says or whatever the official story is. And I just took it to a literal level and just thought, well, man, that would be pretty offensive to an actual half man, half sheep person. But for the grace of God, Barry Ramsey, a literal sheeple, was born, and he had a message to the people out there using sheep and sheeple as a derogatory term. And he said, you know, no, like, he does his own thinking and he subscribes to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. He enjoys alternative media. He tries to, you know, get all the information he can on a story before making his judgment. And sometimes he happens to agree with the official story. He's willing to change his mind if you're willing to have a discussion with him. It involved very heavy makeup. I don't actually look like a half man, half sheep.
Oh, seeing you holding there a dodgeball.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Barry Ramsey, he's the captain of his dodgeball team. You know, obviously he's not a follower if he's literally a leader.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun to shoot, and you know, it gives the opportunity to just to just be goofy. And you wouldn't believe just, or maybe you would believe just how many people are online, like on YouTube and Facebook, you know, having an argument with this video.
Really?
And it's like, dude, yeah, it's like they're still pushing like, oh, that's that's bull. You know, it's garbage. You know, some people they just need to wake up. And it's like, dude, you are arguing with a fictional character. A dude who has white hair all over his body and hooves, you know, like, that's who you're arguing with. That's how you're spending your time, as opposed to just just embracing the silliness of it.
Isn't there literally a line where you say, my opinions on 9/11 have nothing to do with the fact that my father snuck into a barn one night or something like that?
Yeah, 9/11 and my conception have nothing to do with one another. You know, so let's just keep those two out. I guess we could have taken it further with the backstory. You know, I wonder. You know, Barry Ramsey is about 36 years old now. I mean, that's a long time to going through the world as a half man, half sheep. And who knows what stories he has from high school and what have you.
I mean, I can't imagine being bullied. It looks like he filled out as he became a more of an older man in his prime, but I can't imagine being a lanky kid in high school.
Oh, yeah.
With those big moves.
Yeah, he's definitely been doing CrossFit. right? You know, yeah. He's limited on what he can do in CrossFit because he does have hooves.
Mm.
But he also has determination, and that's what's really important.
Well, I mean, and I imagine even with the hooves, you could still do like the wall ball throws. You squat down, and imagine I don't know. Maybe he has more power in his back legs, like some minotaurs I've seen.
He could, and his balance is going to be great.
Right,
because sheep are really good as far as balancing, like walking, through mountains and stuff like that.
It is remarkable. You could probably consume anything. You wouldn't even have to, like our conversation off air, if you're stranded, you could eat pretty much anything and you'd be fine.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And that's probably part of the reason why he bulked up, so much later in life.
Right. I learned that recently. I was working out too much. I wasn't consuming enough calories. Too much DDPY. And it's like, I got to add some more carbs back into my diet.
And DDPY, what is that?
DDP yoga. This is bizarre for me. I grew up, and my favorite wrestler as a kid was Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, yeah. His yoga program, right?
Yeah, it works, man.
That's incredible. But there's that video I saw a couple of years ago of that. It was a veteran. I don't know if he was a Marine or a veteran of the U.S. Army.
A paratrooper,
but yeah. Yeah, he was basically crippled and was told he would never walk again or run. He would never run again. And, man, if no one's seen this video yet, if you guys want to cry, like a good cry, just watch this transformation video of this man. Yeah, Diamond Dallas Page is a really interesting dude. I stopped watching wrestling, I think pretty early, so I'm not that familiar with that era of wrestling, but I watched the documentary on Jake the Snake Roberts. I watched the Snake the Jake Roberts documentary, and Diamond Dallas Page played a huge role in Jake the Snake's recovery, and seems just like just an amazing dude.
It's a remarkable story. I mean, and I stopped I was 9 when I stopped watching wrestling, and then I moved in with the guys I'm living with now about 2 years ago. Like, nostalgia play. Let's watch some old, 90s Monday Night War stuff. And so we get into that. I now get into the recent stuff. And then I also start looking at, all these people performing, guys and girls, going, oh, God, Joey, why do you look like a father? Like, this utter dad bod, and you're in pain. So I got all self-conscious. Turns out, hey, Diamond Dallas Page's got a workout program. All right. And it works after a year or something of doing this. It's ridiculous. You lose a lot of weight, but then it's, I feel good again. I'm impressed, and it is.
Yeah, I should definitely do it because for a long time I really need to work on my flexibility. I know yoga is just the perfect way to do it. And it's cool too because he's such a tough guy, and being able to open up this world to people who would otherwise not be into it or shy away from it, thinking like, oh, yoga, blah blah,
that's why
a fairy thing or something like that.
I respect it in the sense that I don't knock traditional yoga, and if folks want to say namaste and all that, fine. But that stuff annoys the hell out of me. Like some of the New Age wisdom, like old wisdom brought in New Age. If that's floats your boat, fine, but I just like a guy who's like, you can do it, brother. If you say you can, you say you can't, you're right. Henry Ford said that. Now do that damn pose. Like, okay, cool. I can handle that. And it's, I don't know. Diamond Dallas Page, it's bizarre that I'm even going on and talking about it this much.
No, that's really cool. My wife, she teaches Pilates,
oh, wow.
Bar, and she's certified. She teaches yoga as well. And she's, you know, I think I'm kind of with you with the, when it comes to yoga, like the new agey stuff. And she, the way that she explained it to me is she's like, you don't necessarily have to believe in the new agey stuff, but what those words do is they sort of set up these patterns in like, in your brain. Hmm. So, and it actually, I think like it might actually help the process in the way of making things, I wish I knew what the psychology would be, but you know, sort of like putting yourself in that state. So if you are, if you hear chakras or whatever, right. You put yourself in a mind, in a place where you are, alert or, more capable of sort of giving into what the process is, needs of you. At the time, I guess, it would be sort of like a trigger word, but in a good way.
No, that makes sense. So. That really does. It's like, okay, get into this headspace in order to then kind of put your body there, relax, forget everything else. And I'm just able to do that with a like 6'3", 6'4" guy going, you can do it, brother. But I would recommend if you take up your wife like on, doing some more yoga or getting more flexibility. Like my buddy, one of my roommates does CrossFit, and I'm going to try to do both. I'm going to do one of his workouts. I'll get him to do one of mine. And
that's great. Yeah.
If you become more flexible, just a pro tip, I don't know how much you drink or if you drink at all, but I had 8 beers, maybe 8. And somebody there was impressed that I've been doing this for this long. She does traditional yoga. I was showing off how flexible I was right next to the pool. I didn't fall into the pool, but when I, went and grabbed my under my feet or behind my legs, had head in between my knees, I picked my head up quickly, head rush, fell right on the concrete. And, concrete next to a pool needs traction. It's rough. And
wow.
Yeah, I think I was a little concussed. It's either the concussion or lack of tobacco, too. I've been calling my listeners asshats and ding-dongs. I don't know. Like, I'm having a tough time, Lou. And I'm happy that you're here.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here for you. The last thing I want you to do is to, fall on your head at some point during this.
Don't drink. Don't drink when you're doing yoga is the long
story. Eight drinks is a good amount. It's definitely a good amount of drinks. Last night I had I shared a couple bottles of wine with two other dudes, and I was pretty lit up, and I was.
I don't drink as much anymore.
That's good. I think that's always the. I don't think I've ever met someone where I'm like, no, you should drink more. I don't think I've ever given that advice to anybody.
Right. And it's weird because, I've actually blacked out before, and it makes me think of the Kavanaugh hearings where I was like, I know he's trying to be a Supreme Court justice, and this is a very serious hearing about very serious issues, and not just the theater of it or the political posturing, but, he should be very serious. But when one senator asked him, essentially, have you ever blacked out? The answer needed to be, Senator, I can't recall. Please, Kavanaugh, say that. That would have been perfect. But no.
Yeah, I didn't follow that whole case as closely as other people. I felt like I might have been too emotionally, attached to it.
Yeah.
From hearing, I think a lot of it had to do with hearing, stories from women in my life. I think that might, just sort of, I would have to like recuse myself from, from really getting into the discussion. But I know from my own experience, drinking, you know, in my, you know, early 20s, like, there were times when I was drinking to excess where I did black out. I woke up in the morning and I was freaked out because I was afraid that I'd, you know, done something terrible. I've been, you know, trying to run recon and talk with my buddies, like, hey, did I do anything last night? And I, you know, and thankfully, you know, I, you know, nothing, you know, crazy happened. But that was definitely a point in my life when I was, when I said, look, I, you know, just can't do this. I don't want to be in that scary position anymore where you lose control of what you're doing, you know, and that's, and you know, blacking out or whatnot is no excuse for whatever, whatever you've done, you know, it's not like, that's not a way to get out of it. So it's much better to just not drink that, or at least definitely not drink that much.
Well, yeah, if you're prone to that, if you can't control yourself, definitely don't do that. And I've been there, and I mean, for a short period of my life, a few years, I did it on purpose in the sense of I was not a happy person. But you know, I sort of changed it. I know that feeling of you didn't actually do anything, but the next morning, you're like, how did I get here? Oh my God, who do I need to apologize to? That's just a horrible feeling to be walking around with, at least for a day or two, of losing your mind in that sense.
And then thinking about it in, you know, in regards to, you know, alcohol compared to other drugs that are out there. It is pretty incredible that, you know, I was able to go through that experience in my life with a legal drug and, you know, find the, you know, the wherewithal to, you know, take control of my life again and say, I'm not going to do that. And at no point did I need, you know, the criminal justice system to step in to make sure that I made the right choice, you know? Whereas with, you know, I wish that, you know, I wish that same thing could be said for, you know, other drugs that people consume, but, you know, they're doing it in a way where, you know, they don't feel free enough to, you know, to talk about it, or they're doing it, you know, sort of in the shadows. And if they want help, they're unable to get it because of, you know, fear of what might, you know, come to them. So.
Well, and the stigma of it, and, you know, I heard just it, when I brought up Kavanaugh, I heard in the tone of your voice, and I'm not going to pry, but I've also had people confide in me too. And when I watch those hearings, it was a little too much for me. And what I do is I'll play like the Rick side of my brain from the Rick and Morty show. Like, well, the hell with this. I'll be cynical and just make jokes and whatever. But when I watch those hearings, it did strike me. It reminded me of some people I know in my life who I've said this happened to me, and I haven't told many people. It's real tough. And the same thing goes, and I'm talking about sexual assault, abuse, rape, but also people I know have been addicted to hard drugs, and they're trying to figure out what to do with their life. And they can't feel like they talk about it. They have to do it in hushed tones, or else the law will come down on them, number one, or nobody will listen to them and kind of push them further into that dark corner. It's a terrible place to be. And maybe it's something to change with the laws, but also the culture at large, too. Very difficult. Very difficult. Well, I mean, I know that's a great note to start off on before you go and do a comedy show. So I'll be happy to help you there, Lou. Lou, are you there?
I'm not sure what happened with the... Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there now.
Oh, okay. There's must been a problem with my headphones. What I said, I don't know if you caught it. I've definitely had to follow some tough acts before, so this wouldn't be the first time. One thing that struck me about, you know, the Kavanaugh stuff was, you know, if there was ever a time where arguing on Facebook was not going to help anybody, it was definitely, you know, it was definitely having to do with this case, because whether you were for, supported, you know, Brett Kavanaugh, or you, supported Dr. Ford, I believe she's the doctor, if you supported Ford, you know, creeping onto somebody else's thread and contradicting them in any manner was just not going to go over well. And I saw, so many people's feeds just like blow up with this animosity. Oh. And it was like, man, you guys are just putting yourself through something that you don't have to put yourself through. These conversations are, I believe, much better had face to face, or a group of friends or something like that. But of course, I mean, they are, there are a lot of think pieces that came out that I think were important to read.
That is a good sense of perspective, and it brings me back to the personal aspect of things. Like, you actually talk with your family and friends about these issues. I mean, unfortunately, I think some people find maybe their dad or their mom, they disagree politically. It's a shame to see relationships broken by different political ideas. Unless somebody's actually an uber violent person, I don't really see. I think this is why I love your hate F idea. That was genius. Let's just screw our way out of our disagreements. But it's a matter of perspective and having those personal discussions in a sensitive way. And I suppose here in just a second, I want to let you go. But folks, follow Lou and the whole team there at We the Internet. YouTube. Just go to YouTube, subscribe. You know how it works. If you don't know how it works, well, I can't help you. But go to We the Internet TV on YouTube. Also, check out Greg and Lou. And there are a few moments here, Lou, where we were talking over each other. And I was feeling the tension. I was really feeling the tension. So I'm glad we're not in the same room. I'm glad it's a phone interview, because it brings me back to the whole Googling thing, and and with the sheeple, it's weird things going through my mind. So I thank you, sir. I thank you a lot. I really appreciate it. And folks, Lou, genius guy. And I wanted to talk. I didn't know how much you got into Impractical Jokers. That show saved me some, like during the whole Kavanaugh thing when I just wanted to shut off the news. But I guess we don't have time for that. You got to go to a show. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I mean, one thing I will say, I think in my top three of like shows that have made me laugh the hardest, Impractical Jokers is definitely in my top three. Those dudes are super hilarious. And And it is really nice when, with all the stuff going on, that you're able to, find something that's just pure enjoyment. And that's fantastic. I love when people are able to just keep things separate. Like, hey, this is just for joy. This is just for fun. So that's
exactly
nice.
Exactly. Well, that's what I shoot for some nights. We got serious tonight, man. But if we ever get a chance to hang out in person, make a video or a comedy or like a discussion video, to be clear, I know you're a married man. Let's do it. I'd love to have you back on the show anytime as well. So again, folks, Lou Perez, We the Internet, Greg and Lou. Lou, I hope you have a good rest of the evening.
Thanks. You too, man. Thanks so much, Joey.
All right. Later. And folks, we're going to hit a late break here. And coming up, let me tell you a little bit about where we're going the rest of the week. And we're going out to another Lou Perez. This is Bon Bon Boogie. Am I saying that correct? Bon Bon Boogie. Yeah. Be right back.
Joey Clark.
Live local talk, the River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
AutoSave Tire and Automotive is your local trusted source for tires and auto repair in the River Region. We do it all, from oil changes to engine transmission repair, even those pesky check engine lights. We also handle over 80 brands of tires, all at the best prices. We have stores located in Prattville, Montgomery, and Wetumpka for your convenience. We can also handle your fleet business, accepting Donlen, ARI, Element, WEX, and more. We also accept your Bridgestone, Firestone, and Car Care One credit cards. Check out our website, autosavetires.net. AutoSave Tire and Automotive, come to where your auto saves you.
Enjoy an afternoon of wine on the water at the 9th Annual Riverwalk Wine Festival, Saturday, October 20th, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Montgomery's Riverfront Park. Sample a great selection of wine from local and international wineries while enjoying live entertainment and great food with on-site food vendors. Your tasting also includes a commemorative glass and wine bag with baguette and wine list. Tickets are only $30. For more info, go to funandmontgomery.com or call 334-625-2100. Sponsored by Wind Creek Montgomery, Montgomery Subaru, Renaissance Hotel and Spa Montgomery, and the City of Montgomery.
Hey, River Region, Dave Ramsey here. The thing about Christmas is it's the same time every year. This means you have absolutely no excuse not to plan ahead and budget for gifts. I recommend you visit my friends at Southern Homes and Gardens, Alabama's premier Christmas store. Southern Homes and Gardens is locally owned and operated for over 38 years, and they carry a huge variety of long-lasting, lifelike Christmas trees, always 50% off. You can also get gorgeous poinsettias and holiday greenhouse favorites for your gift buying. They have a wide selection of budget-friendly pre-wrapped gifts, plus an endless selection of store-wide gift specials, up to 50% off and on-site personalization. Choose from exquisite decor and hundreds of ornaments. So visit Southern Homes and Gardens today. Call 334-387-0440. Or visit SouthernHomesAndGardens.com. Tell them Dave sent you.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. What an unbelievable change in our weather. And this is the kind of weather we've been hoping for about 6 months. For tonight, mostly clear, much cooler air is flowing into the state. Low temperature in the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, beautiful sunshine, low humidity, high temperature in the upper 70s, low at night in the 50s again on Friday night. Saturday's high around 79 with beautiful sunshine. We'll be in the low 80s Sunday. Just a great fall weekend ahead. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Prime South Bank, where they have what it takes for you to live your best life, your prime life. Tired of checking account fees? Try their Kasasa checking accounts and say bye-bye to monthly fees. Prime South Bank, with locations in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
The new ratings are in, and once again, you've made Blue Water Broadcasting the most listened to radio group in the River Region. Thank you. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back, folks. Thank you once again to Lou Perez of We the Internet and the comedy duo, Greg and Lou. Been a long day, folks. A little tired here. And one of these days, I might need to change up my schedule so I could just, do like a three-hour show. But for now, the comedy hour continues to the music of Lou Perez, not the Lou that we just interviewed, not the Luis that we just interviewed, but a different Lou. Before I get out of here, I want to tell you about my friend Eddie Bader with the Goodson Group. Yes, you can visit thegoodsongroup.com, but really what I want you to do, if you are thinking of buying or selling a home and you need a real estate agent, think Eddie Bader. Real estate agent, Eddie Bader. Yeah, once again, real estate agent, Eddie Bader. His number is 322-0662. Again, that number, 322-0662. He can help find, the home that's exactly right for you. He can help you find an investment property that will help put money in your pocket. But in particular, they've found a beautiful place, an open house will be going on this Saturday and Sunday. Both days, Saturday and Sunday, 2 until 4 in the afternoon at 406 Sheila Boulevard. That is, again, Saturday and Sunday, 406 Sheila Boulevard. be giving away a $25 gift card to everybody who stops by and registers for that. It's a beautiful place on Sheila Boulevard. Houses a four-bedroom, two-bath with two-car garage, large sun porch, located within walking distance. It's Daniel Pratt and convenient located in the middle of everything you need to go to in the preferred community of Prattville. So again, that is an open house with Eddie Bader from the Goodson Group, 406 Sheila Boulevard, 2 until 4, both Saturday and Sunday. You're going to want to see this place. It is a steal. And if maybe you want to get to know Eddie personally, give him a call, 322-0662, but also go and meet him. Learn how he can really show you the true charm of a place like 406 Sheila Boulevard. So, folks, at the end of the day, I do run to comedy as a refuge. And I like that Lou and I were able to get into a freewheeling discussion beyond just, you know, our jobs in particular, our political ideology in particular. You know, you do get off on different roads in everyday conversation. And it's interesting that this line of work has allowed me to meet people from far-flung places, from my perspective, that I never would have met if I'd done anything else for the most part. And really, at the end of the day, it's about getting to know the person before the politics. And especially, and this has helped me, and I'm looking in the mirror here, before you try to win an argument, especially with some stranger online, try to get to know them, or at least try to make them laugh. And don't try to make an example out of somebody. Again, don't try to win. Because number one, you may be wrong on a particular issue. Or number two, even if you're right about something, you might be wrong to bring it up in that moment. There's no real benefit, in my opinion, to yelling and screaming at somebody, especially a stranger on the internet. Really, we're tearing ourselves apart in that regard. We want to blame politicians. We want to blame Facebook. We want to blame all these different media companies. At the end of the day, the only people to blame are the ones in the mirror. So it's about actually getting to know people. Yes, we libertarians are a weird tribe. But so are the Democrats, so are the Republicans. Americans, human beings are weird, man. We're weird. But we also have redeeming qualities. We have redeeming qualities that can often make us laugh in the same breath as something that makes us cry. We are a strange bunch. And if you just have a little hope and you understand, as Kanye West said, let's not worry about the future, only the day that's here over and over and over again, the eternal reoccurring hero's journey, I think we'll all be better off for it. So thank you for those words today in the Oval Office, ye. Maybe one day I'll be saying President West. And thank you again to Lou Perez. Check out We the Internet on YouTube. I'll be back tomorrow night, folks. It's going to be Friday, so who the hell knows what I'm going to do.
Joey Clark.